Okay, it's time to have some fun. This is right after lunch. Everybody's sleepy. Yes. Draggy. I hope you're still a little sugar high from all the lunch you ate and everything. You've had all these complicated topics here of, you know, fornication and alcohol and the pornography and the marriage, divorce, remarriage that Jeff's been through for 2 hours. Get your pencils out. Turn to page 33 in your book. Page 33. You'll see that page is totally blank. By the time we get through, if you can write as fast as I can talk, it'll be filled in. And those of you on the east side know what that means, okay? You've got to write as fast as I talk. The Bible narrative, we're going through the entire, from Genesis through the letters to the Christians, in the next hour. So you've got to write really fast. This could be called the scheme of redemption. It could be called God's plan for man. It could be called how God saved man, God's promises. It's all involved in looking at the Bible from one complete story, from Genesis all the way through the New Testament. And that's what we're going through here. So, we're going to divide it into 17 periods. You could have picked 15, you could have picked 18, it doesn't matter, we picked 17. You can't see the numbers down the left-hand side of your page, they're up in the little crack over there. So number down through there, 1 through 8, down that left side. The right side is already numbered. Actually, the left side is 2, you just can't see it. So we'll start off and we'll go through these 17 periods, and we'll look at, as the Bible narrative flows through the entire Old Testament, New Testament, and we'll have a little fun doing it. Now, in box number 1 up there, where it says, number 1, you can write at the top, before the flood. You say, well, why before the flood? Well, number 2 is going to be the flood, if you want to jump ahead and get that one down. So this has got to be before the flood, if the flood's number 2. So, in the period before the flood, let's start off and see what happened. What's Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created, okay? So we're going back to the very beginning, and God's going to do the creation. So Genesis chapter 1 talks about the creation. The 6 days, what God created those 6 days. And on the 6th day, He created what? Man, okay, us. That's what we come into being. We start our relationship with God in Genesis very first, in Genesis chapter 1. God created man, and later then, woman to be with man. So Genesis 1, we start at the very beginning of the narrative with creation. Genesis chapter 2, we find Adam and Eve in the garden. And God's relationship with them in the garden. The perfect place for them. But in chapter 3, a problem arises. What is that problem? Sin. So Genesis chapter 3, we have the first sin. Whoops, excuse me. That's where the garden is. I've got my map up here. Garden of Eden is more than likely located down just above the Persian Gulf. So, now, chapter 3. Genesis 3, the first sin. And the first verse I want you to make note of, Genesis 3:15, the first promise of the seed that would come. That's the capital S, speaking of Christ. Because of that sin that occurred in chapter 3, the necessity of a Redeemer. That's first introduced in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. 4, we have Cain and Abel. But now sin continues. As Cain becomes jealous and kills his brother Abel. They're driven from the garden, Adam and Eve are, and now Cain is marked, and now we have sin. Then Genesis chapter 5 is kind of a composite of generations that get us from Adam's time up to what's next? What's the next big section? The flood, which is Noah, okay? So, chapter 5 gets us generations of Adam that take us from Adam up to Noah. So, these are the 5 chapters that encompass the period before the flood. Genesis 1 through 5. And these are the main events that occurred during that time. Okay, continuing our narration as we come through the time, we're up to the time of the flood. Genesis chapter 6, we find Noah because what had become so rampant? Wickedness, sin. God wished He had never made man because man is so full of sin by this time. The world is. So God says, I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to wipe him out. I'm going to start again. So He decides to send the flood. He tells Noah to build the ark. Noah builds the ark exactly like God wanted him to. So, wickedness, the ark's built. What's coming in chapter 7? flood. Okay. Chapter 7, the flood begins. Begins to rain. Water begins to rise. Chapter 7, the flood begins. The flood comes up, covers the highest mountains, where everything is dead except what? Noah, his wife, three sons, their wives, and who's with them? Or what's with them? Okay. The animals in the ark with them. Everything else is wiped out. So God's going to start afresh. So we have the flood. Now, chapter 8, flood's over. God's accomplished his purpose. Destroy the world. So the waters recede. They come back down. And Noah can now come out of the ark. The ark lands up in the mountains of Ararat, which are way to the north, up in the area of the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. And in chapter 9, where have you heard this recently? Where have you heard chapter 9 mentioned recently? Huh? Last night. Right. Eric's talk last night. He asked you what was in chapter 9, remember? Remember that talk? So, in chapter 9, we have four things that are significant. Apparently, the first time they ever had meat for food. God gave them meat for food. And capital punishment is introduced. Blood for blood. It's first mentioned in chapter 9 of Genesis. God made a promise in chapter 9. What was it? I'll never destroy the earth again by water. And the sign he gave was the rainbow. Put it in the sky. That's in chapter 9. And, unfortunately, in chapter 9, since God has now cleansed the world and all the sin is gone, Noah does what? What's Noah's sin? Anybody remember? Actually, two parts. Drunkenness and uncovered himself. Okay? So Noah's sin is in the last part of chapter 9. So that's chapter 9. So that's what happened during the period of the flood. So we come through Adam, the things of the first five books of Genesis, the five chapters of Genesis, and now the period of the flood, with the blood, the ark, the water receding, and these things that happened in chapter 9. And then chapter 10, again, is a generation-type chapter that gets us from the time of Noah up forward in time there. Now, third section, the third period to look at, is one chapter. That's Genesis chapter 11. It's a scattering of the people. So after the flood, people come back down, and they, in the plains of Shinar, which is a little farther northwest than what the Garden of Eden is thought to be, and here they decide to build what? A tower that's going to reach the heavens, okay? They wanted to make a name for themselves. That was not God's purpose. God wanted them to scatter and do what? Multiply the earth, replenish the earth, scatter out. So, to cause them to do that, he did what to them? What did they do? He confused their languages. Well, they couldn't speak to one another. Had to scatter out. So, the third period of our narrative through here, the scattering of the people, centered around the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11. Now we move into the fourth period, which is the patriarchs. What does the word patriarch mean? Anybody know? Father rule, okay? Father rule. Monarch. I think rulers are called monarchs. The word arch is rule. Patriarch, as opposed to maternal, it's the paternal side. So it's father rule. So the fathers were the rulers of the various clans or tribes. We have three we're going to deal with, the primary ones. They are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we talk about them. So in Genesis chapter 12 through 50, the rest of the book of Genesis is taken up with the period of the patriarchs. So Genesis 12 through 50, we have the narrative about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. He becomes the father of the tribes of Israel, the children of Israel. Genesis 12 through 50. Now, our next important verses to look at. In Genesis chapter 12, in verses 1 through 3, and verse 7. We have three promises made to Abraham. They're the promises, I will make you a great nation. Through your seed, the nations of the earth be blessed. And verse 7 is the land promise. So three important promises. And we're going to watch those three promises be fulfilled as we go through our narrative today. So three promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Now, it's important that you know this stuff in the Old Testament because in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 3, he makes reference to this. If you don't understand this and these promises, you'll have a hard time understanding what he's referring to over in Acts chapter 3. Okay. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. He has 12 sons. They become the 12 tribes. And there's a major problem that arises between Joseph and his brothers. What's that problem? It's one word. Jealousy. Okay? Jealousy. So much so that they do what? They sell him into slavery. So Joseph winds up in Egypt. It's a very difficult time. He rises above it. And then Eric mentioned something last night about Joseph doing what with Potiphar's wife. The temptation comes. What's the word Eric used over and over? Flee. Okay. So he fled from the temptation there, but that got him back in prison. And eventually rose up to be what position? Second in command in Egypt. God had a purpose for him. Famine comes to the land of Canaan where Joseph's family is. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. He brings the family down into Egypt. About 70 people came into Egypt at that time. Joseph's family. The path that Abraham would have taken from Ur, that's where the Garden of Eden was, here's Shinar, where the Tower of Babel was, from Ur up to Haran, where his father died, down into the land of Canaan, down here. And now they wind up in Egypt. So, they're in Egypt. They're sitting good. What's their relationship to the king of Egypt at this time? When Joseph moves them down there, what's their relationship to the king of Egypt? Great. Joseph's number two in command. He's just saved Egypt because of the big famine. But, about 400 years pass. A lot of people have died. A lot of people come on the scene now. So a Pharaoh comes up who does not know who Joseph is. Doesn't have that relationship with Joseph. Joseph's long gone by now. So he puts the children of Israel into slavery. Making bricks. They're now slaves. God doesn't leave them there. He raises up Moses. Calls Moses and says, Moses, I have a mission for you, a task for you. Go deliver my people. Who does Aaron get to be his right hand? Excuse me. Who does Moses get to be his right hand? Answer I just gave you. Aaron, okay. Moses gets Aaron to be his right hand, to go with him, to be his spokesman. So God brings the 10 plagues on Egypt to get Pharaoh's heart softened so he'll let his people go. Water of blood, frogs, lice. You know that series up through there. It ends with what number plague? 10, which is the death of the firstborn. And this is the one that finally shakes Pharaoh. And he says, go, get out. Go on, take them and go. So Moses leads them out. They go across the Red Sea. And they travel down to Mount Sinai. As they leave Egypt. So, from Egypt down to Mount Sinai, down into between the two fingers of the Suez and Gulf of Aqaba. Now, four very, very important things happen at Mount Sinai. Very important things. God made a covenant with His people. He says, I will be your God, you be my people, if you will obey me and do my commandments. So there's a covenant tied in here. Very important. The covenant between God and His people, made at Mount Sinai. He also gave them the law, what we know as the law of Moses. He set up the priesthood to be used in the worship for Him. And He gave them all the requirements for building the tabernacle, His house where He would dwell among them. the four important things that happened at Mount Sinai: the covenant, the law, the priesthood, and the tabernacle. They are now a nation. One promise to Abraham is fulfilled. As far as physical Israel is concerned, they are now a physical nation. They spend the time at Mount Sinai, get the tabernacle built, everything established. They move up to Kadesh Barnea. They send out the spies. How many spies? 12, one from each tribe. They come back and say what? Right. 10 said we can't take it. 2 said we can. Those two were Joshua and Caleb. They said, yes, we can take the land. The other 10 said, no, we can't. The nation listened to which group? The 10. They said, no, we can't take it. So, unbelief. Keep that word in mind. Because of unbelief, a lack of faith, they said, no, we can't take the land. And they started murmuring, which we were back in Egypt. So, they left Sinai, keep it in your map in your mind, moved up to Kadesh Barnea on the very southern edge of Canaan, where they're setting out to go take the land. But the spies come back and say, no, you can't. So they say, we don't. Because of this unbelief, they are sentenced to wander in the wilderness. Numbers 14:33. Wander in the wilderness for 40 years. This is our period number 6. Wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of their lack of faith, their unbelief in God, that He would give them the land that He had promised to Abraham. Now, during this 40 years, a number of events are going to occur. We're going to have the highlights of several of them as we go through here. I don't have time to get into all of them. Let's look at some of the highlights of the things that happened during this 40-year period. Numbers chapter 16. We have Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And what was their problem? I remember. They didn't like Moses being in charge. Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. We want some of that responsibility. Now, why was Moses taking so much on himself? Because God put it that way, right? God's the one designed how it would be done. So these guys are rebelling not against Moses, but against God's plan and what he had envisioned for His people. So because of that, and to show God's displeasure with it, what did He do? Open the earth up and swallow them up. So, rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram is put down. Numbers chapter 20, several major things happen. Miriam dies. Who's Miriam? Moses' sister. So Moses is going to lose his sister in the first part of Numbers chapter 20. And then the biggie. The big, big, big thing for Moses. Moses sinned. God told him to speak to the rock and bring forth water. Moses didn't do that. Instead of speaking to the rock, what did he do? He struck it. If you look at the verses just below that, it says it was because of unbelief. So, why didn't they not go into the promised land to start with when the 10 spies came back? They didn't have faith and believe in God. What did God challenge Moses with here? Unbelief. Unbelief. Because of that unbelief, you won't enter the promised land, Moses. The nation of Israel, excuse me, the nation of Edom, is on the right side of the Dead Sea as you start up toward the east side of the Jordan River. And Israel wanted to pass through that land. Edom wouldn't let them. Now, what's significant about that? Who is Edom? Descendants of Esau. Children of Israel, descendants of Jacob. Now what? Brothers. Nice, friendly brothers? No. Problems all the way back. Between them. Almost always back between them. And even now, the nation of Edom refuses passage to let them pass through. They have to go around. And then Moses loses not just Miriam in this chapter, but also Aaron dies in Numbers chapter 20. Okay, 21. Because of their complaining, God sends serpents among them to bite them and kill them. Moses intervenes with God and raises that bronze serpent up they look at to live. I put this in here because of the reference in John 3:14, when Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up, just as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. You need to know this to understand what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3. The bronze serpent in Numbers 20. 22, the story of Balaam and Balak. And Balak wanted Balaam to curse the nation. But God intervened and would not let him do it. 26, coming now to the end of the 40-year wilderness wandering. They take a census again. This time, all the men about 20 years of age have died during this wandering in the wilderness, except two, Joshua and Caleb, because they believe, had the faith in God, they will see the promised land. Number 27, Joshua is appointed to be the new leader. Well, Moses is not going to the land because of his unbelief. In Deuteronomy 34, at the end of all the speeches that Moses made in Deuteronomy, Moses dies. The children of Israel are now on the east side of Jordan, ready to enter into the land that God's promised, way back to Abraham. The 40 years of wandering is now over. So, here they are, positioned on the east side of Jordan. So now we have number 7, invasion and conquest. There were several things, click, 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 that happened in the early part of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, they cross the Jordan. Chapter 5, circumcision, which started back in Genesis 17 with Abraham, is now reinstated. It's been stopped during the wandering in the wilderness. Manna stops. It's been fed with manna during this time of the wilderness. Joshua chapter 6, they take the city of Jericho, marked around it 6 times. Once each day, and then 7 times on the 7th day, and God gives them the city. 7 and 8, they take the city of Ai. Mighty small, mighty minor, but very important because of the sins that occurred when they were taking the city of Jericho. 9, they have the entanglement with the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites, we'll see in the map, and it lived very, very close. But they tricked them and make them think they were way off, make a treaty with them, the Gibeonites. So here we are, the land. They were camped here. Here's Mount Nebo where Moses died. They were camped here. They go across, take Jericho, take Ai. Here's Gibeon. They're beginning to take the land. We're in the invasion and conquest of the land. Now, we take it in 3 campaigns. First, they take the middle part of the land. Central campaign. Then they take the southern part. And they go north and take the northern part of the land. They conquer the land on the west side of Jordan in 3 stages. Central, the south, and the north. Joshua 13, verse 7. The land is divided among the tribes. Joshua 13, verse 7. The land is divided. So now, in 2143, the land promise to Abraham is now fulfilled. We have 2 of the promises to Abraham from Genesis chapter 12. They're now fulfilled. In 24, Joshua dies. They have no leaders anymore. So now we have somebody else to lead them. Brings us to period number 8, the period of the judges. Judges, 14 plus Abimelech. Abimelech's not called a judge, but he's listed in this book here with the judges. And there's a 4-word cycle that repeats itself over and over and over through the book of Judges. Rebellion. They rebel against God. Repression or oppression. They send the nation against them. They repent because of that. And God sends a rescue. He raises a judge to come up and deliver them. So rebellion, repression, repentance, and rescue. Repeated over and over and over in the book of Judges. Some of the more prominent judges, as far as the stories we remember, Gideon and his 300 men, the selection process, God went through and helped him get his army down to the right size. Jephthah and his daughter, what promise did Jephthah make? Give me the victory and what? First thing that comes out of my house, I will sacrifice to you. That's his daughter. Rash promise. The last three judges, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. Remember all the stories of Samson, Eli, and his wicked sons? And it's during the time of Samuel, the last judge, a judge, a priest, a prophet, that the people said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else around us. Think about those words. We'll be like everybody else around us, what the nation said. So Saul's anointed king. And the period of the judges comes to end. This period lasted about 350 years. The period of the judges. So we've covered eight of the periods. I want you to speak out real loud. We're going to say them together. Eight of them. What's first? Before the flood. Blood, scattered of the people, patriarchs. Judges. Okay. That's eight of the 17 done. Now, period of judges comes to close because they said, we want a king to be like the nations round about us. Samuel says, no, no, no. God says, Samuel, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me as being their king. So he gives them a king. We bring up the time of the kingdom. We're going to call it the United Kingdom because it's going to be divided a little bit later on. The time of the United Kingdom begins with King Saul, whom God selected for them. Now we get in some pretty good dates from here on out. We can watch the dates. So Saul reigns about 1040 to 1000 B.C. King Saul, 1040 to 1000 B.C. Probably most known for what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 15 with his dealings with the Amalekites. God said, go order to destroy them. Saul said, I've done that, but he hadn't. He had a tangle with Samuel because of that. And Samuel says, because of your disobedience, God has rejected you from being king. So, Samuel's rejected, and David is now king. 1000 to 960 B.C. These are going 40-year increments, if you notice. So, 1000 to 960 B.C. is David as king. Lots of things we talk about with David, but note this, the preparation he made for building the temple. And mark this passage down, and know it well. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. David says, I want to build you a house. I'm living in a house. God's in a tent, a tabernacle. Nathan says, great idea. God told Nathan, no, it's not. If I want a house, I'd have told him. Don't want you to build me a house. But you make preparation. Your son Samuel, your son Solomon will build me a house that will last forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, key messianic passage. You need to remember that one. And then that brings on our next king, that's Solomon, from 960 to about 920 B.C. And only 4 years after he became king, he begins to build the temple. 956 B.C., Solomon starts building the temple. Solomon has known for his wisdom, also his wives. Combination of wives and concubines equal about 1,000. But because of all these foreign women he married, idols came into play. That's Solomon's big downfall, was his idols. At the end of Solomon's reign, the kingdom is now, well, here's a summary of that, Saul, David, and Solomon. At the end of his reign now, the kingdom is divided. It's divided in. It's going to last for 200 years. That's a divided kingdom, 921 to 721 B.C. Some of these times are rounded off by a year or two to make it easy to remember the dates here. So we have Israel in the north. Israel, 10 tribes. Jeroboam, the first king, set up calves at Dan and at Bethel so that people will not go back into Jerusalem for worship. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt, he told them. And all the kings of Israel were wicked. Not one good one in the northern kingdom in Israel. Not one. So Israel in the north, they were taken away by Assyria into captivity in 721 B.C., never again to be a nation. Gone forever. The 10 tribes in the north. In the south, we have Judah, Rehoboam, Solomon's son is the king, 2 tribes. This is the lineage of the house of David. Talked about in 2 Samuel 7. Some kings were good, some were not. So we'll see as we move on here. One of the good kings was Hezekiah. He was king when Assyria fell, when Assyria captured the northern kingdom. Hezekiah was king of the south when the northern kingdom fell to Assyria. The period of the divided kingdom, 200 years, Israel in the north, 10 tribes, Jeroboam, no good kings. In the south, we have Rehoboam, 2 tribes, some good kings, some bad kings. Now, the northern kingdom is taken away into captivity. Leaves what? Judah alone. Judah by themselves now. Period number 11. We're moving through history. 721 to 586. About 135 years. But Judah's in the south by themselves. Manasseh, major, major evil king, ruled for 55 years. And because of his influence, probably brought on the ultimate downfall of the nation. But he's not the only king. There's also good ones, like Josiah, who reigned for 31 years. He was a good king. So, the nation of Judah, you have some good, some bad. But the bad influence just keeps ruling out. Jerusalem fell to Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, 586 B.C., after 135 years after the northern kingdom had fallen to Assyrian captivity. So 135 years past Israel is how long Judah lasted. Babylonian Empire, well, they went into captivity. Israel's over here, Judah down the south, back way up across the Fertile Crescent, back over the Euphrates River, is the nation of Babylon. Okay, they're in captivity. Now, what's some dates here? Israel, but Judah fell in 586. Captivity actually started in 606. A little overlap here. You have to watch your dates and not get confused. It was prophesied the captivity would last for 70 years. So here's how it goes. In 606, 605 time frame, the first captives are taken from Jerusalem into Babylon. City hasn't fallen yet. 586 hasn't gotten here, but the city falls. So some of the captives are taken. Daniel is in that group that's taken captive in the first part. You've got to remember the image now, Daniel chapter 2. The head of gold, nation of Babylon, and right on down. We'll get to that in a minute. 597, second captives are taken. This will include Ezekiel. 597, the second group. We include Ezekiel. In 586, Jerusalem falls, 2 Kings chapter 25, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So now both of the nations have gone into captivity. Israel, never to be heard of again, but we have hope for Judah. We have hope for Judah because of the promises of God set her on 2 Samuel chapter 7. So that's the period of the captivity. Now, you've got to write this down if you don't want to. Let me talk to you about this a minute. We have three prophets involved here. Daniel went with the first group into captivity. Think about Daniel with all these D's up here. Daniel interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, ate the king's delicacies and dainties. Darius, the king associated with Daniel, den of lions. So Daniel is in captivity, but where is he? In the palace with the king. So Daniel's in captivity with the king, with the royalty, serving them. Ezekiel is taken into captivity. He is in exile, but he's not in the palace. He's out with the everyday people. He's trying to explain to them why this happened. Because you didn't obey God, this happened to you. You're taken into captivity. He talked about the fall of Egypt and Edom. So these are the E's that are associated with Ezekiel. Now, we mentioned those two. Who's the third prophet in here? Everybody remember? Jeremiah fits in here also. Where's Jeremiah? He didn't go to captivity. He's back in Jerusalem. He's in Judah. He's telling the people there, justice is coming. You better repent. You better change. So the three prophets associated with this time frame here. Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. Okay, following the Babylonians, we have the Persian Empire. Kind of moving forward in time now. Think about Daniel's statue from Daniel chapter 2. And time passes, and now the Medes and the Persians are in control. 70 years is up, so it's time for the return. 536, the decree of Cyrus. Book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1. That's the people start going back. Zerubbabel comes back to build a temple. Not a temple like the one that Solomon had built, but a temple. This time frame here where Esther fits in also. 458, Ezra comes back. His purpose, to restore the worship. So Zerubbabel comes back to build a temple, and Ezra comes back to restore the worship. Continuing, Nehemiah is the third one to come back, and his purpose is to rebuild the walls of the city. So, Zerubbabel comes back for the temple, Ezra for the worship, and Nehemiah to restore, to rebuild the temple. Three returns. And the Old Testament closes with Malachi about 433, 432 B.C. prophesying, and the people still aren't listening. So they aren't listening, so what's God do? He says, I'm going to go silent. So we have the next period of years of silence. Amos 8, verse 11, talks about a famine. Not a famine for food, but a famine for hearing the Word of God. So God stops speaking to them this period of 400 years. Now, during this time, you've got to think about the statue of Daniel chapter 2 to kind of get us through time. We've talked about Babylon and the Medo-Persians already. We've got to move through the rest of the time of this years of silence. Persia falls, 331. This is this time that the Bible doesn't talk about, years of silence. 331, Persia falls. Alexander the Great, the third of the four great kingdoms, is next, the Greeks. 334 to 323 B.C. In 63, Rome, the fourth kingdom, takes the land of Palestine. That's where we're going to be centering our attention next. In 37, Herod's made king, and then he starts building his temple. The temple is going to be in Jerusalem when Christ is there. Now, in Luke chapter 1, God breaks the silence. What breaks the silence? Angel Gabriel speaks to Zechariah, announcing the birth of John, the forerunner of Christ is coming. The 400 years of silence is about to end. Now, don't write this down. Let me run through you right quick. 400 years, approximately 100 years each of the Medo-Persians in power. It's during the years of silence. 100 years of Alexander and the Greeks. 100 years of the Maccabean Revolt. And then 100 years of the beginning of the Roman Empire. So the 400 years of silence breaks down roughly into those 400 year periods. So, now we're going to center our attention to the land of Palestine and come up with the next period, which is the life of Christ. The life of Christ will break into seven sections, seven pieces. First, the years of preparation, lasting his first 30 years. So that one thing covers the 30 years of the life of Christ. That's roughly 33 years. From his birth up to his baptism by John. 6 months of the beginning of the ministry as Christ begins his preaching. Begin the ministry, 6 months. He spends about 18 months in Galilee. 18 months in Galilee. Then he spends 6 months, what's called the periods of retirement, where he withdraws away from the crowds, away from the multitudes. And in 6 more months, in the close of his ministry. We have 30 years, 6 months, 18 months, 6 months, 6 months. 30, 18, 36, 18, 8. One more time. 36, 18, 6, 6. 30 years, 6 months, 18 months, 6 months, 6 months. It's the time of Jesus' life. And we have down to the last week, the week before his death, and all the events that occurred at that time. And after His death, His burial, His resurrection, we have the resurrection and exaltation as He ascends back to the Father, seated at His right hand, exalted. And here's the biggie. Genesis 3:15, Genesis 12, 2 Samuel 7, and a host of other passages. The seed promise is now fulfilled. Period 16, the time of the early church. Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon is preached, and the church is established. Now we have a spiritual nation, not the physical nation of Israel, but now a spiritual nation. Acts chapter 2. In 8, the gospel spreads out to the Samaritans. And in chapter 10, he goes to the Gentiles, conversion of Cornelius. Beginning this massive spread that's going to go through. So 2 is the Jews, 8 goes to the Samaritans, and 10 is Cornelius, the first Gentile. And 13 and following through the rest of the book of Acts is Paul and Barnabas and the others as they preach throughout Asia Minor and on across to Greece and Rome. And then last period, number 17, is the letters to the Christians written by Peter, Paul, James, Jude, and John. And that takes us in 45 minutes from Genesis through all the periods of Bible history up to the coming of Christ, establishment of the church, the gospel spread, and across to all the letters written to the Christians. Now, I'm going to go through it again. I want you to watch the screen this time. No writing. A little different way. Before the flood, Genesis 1 through 5, Garden of Eden, located approximately here, as best we can put together. Second period, the flood, Genesis 6 through 10, the waters come, cover the earth. I like that water. Isn't that neat? Ark lands on Mount Ararat. Second period. Third period. Scatter the people. They leave and come down from Mount Ararat. Back down to the plains of Shinar. The Tower of Babel is built. Genesis chapter 11. Patriarchs. Begin with Abraham. In Ur. He travels up to... Back up. I want you to see that. Okay. He travels from Ur up to Haran, down to the land of Canaan that God had promised to him, and eventually on down into Egypt. He came back up from there and settled in the land of Israel. It could be Israel, now it's Canaan. Then Joseph is the link that gets us from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into the land of Egypt, where they eventually made slaves. This brings on then the Exodus. Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph. 400 years later, Moses called, lead them out. The plagues come. And finally, Pharaoh says, go, get out. Moses leads them across the Red Sea, down to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, nation promises fulfilled. They're given the covenant. The law, the priesthood, and the tabernacle. They are now a nation. They went up from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, sent the spies out. They said, we can't take the land. 10 of them did. People believed them. Because of this, they got to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. During this time, Miriam and Aaron die. Moses sins, tells he can't enter the land. There's the story of Balaam and Balak. Joshua's appointed to lead them. They conquer the east side of Jordan. Moses sees the land from Mount Nebo, can't enter it. Joshua's positioned, ready to lead them into the land on the east side of Jordan, ready to cross in. Wandering in the wilderness comes to an end. They're now ready for the invasion and conquest. It happens in three campaigns, the central, the southern, and the northern part. They conquer the land. The land is divided. The land promise is fulfilled. They have no leader now as Joshua dies. They have their judges. The repetitive cycle of rebellion, repression, repentance, and rescue. First Samuel, they say, we want a king. So they give him a king to be like the nations round about him. Here to the United Kingdom, Saul, David, and Solomon. Each one reigned in about 40 years. I guess it's down to 920 B.C. United Kingdom. Divided Kingdom. Israel in the north. 10 tribes. Jeroboam. All evil kings. Judah in the south. 2 tribes. Rehoboam. Solomon's son, the king. Some kings were good. Israel was taken away in 721 B.C. to Assyrian captivity. Leaves Judah alone from 721 to 586 when they are taken away into Babylonian captivity in 3 groups. Daniel, the first group, Ezekiel, and then the final group. 70 years captivity lasted. Return, 3 groups again, Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Malachi ends about 430. 433 B.C., a period of 400 years of silence, prophesied in Amos 8:11. It's broken by the announcement and the coming of Christ. He talked about the 7 periods of his life, 30 years, years of preparation, began his ministry, moves north to Galilee for 18 months, and then back down, the period of retirement and the close of his ministry, and the end of it then with the last week, and then the resurrection and exaltation. The gospel starts spreading from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria in the early part of Acts. And then the gospel expands out to Asia Minor. And eventually letters to the Christians are written. The gospel crosses the Aegean Sea through the travels of Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke, and on to Rome. And the letters are written by Peter, Paul, James, Jude, and John. And that's the narrative from beginning to end. That's how God designed it, to send Christ to save us. The purpose for it. Now, I know you had to write in a hurry, so I've got a cheat sheet for you. If you look at your book, after page 33, they just go page 34 and 35. Here comes page 34 and 35 down the aisle now. So in case you missed something, or in case you can't write as fast as I can talk, here's the answers to all the narrative, okay? Again, on my part, I thank you for coming. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. We've got about 7-8 minutes of break time here. Tracy's next on the Deacon City side with some things that I think you're really going to want to hear about why we do things the way we do them. And you've got to understand why Tracy's making this talk. You'll understand it when he starts talking to you. Okay? Get pages 34 and 35. You can put them in your book when you want to. And we'll see you back in about 8 minutes. Thank you.